Latinos are the largest minority group in the public schools in this country, yet they lag behind whites, Asians, and African Americans in most measures of academic achievement. There is broad agreement that schools aren't doing enough to teach these students, but there's little consensus on how to fix the problems. Today, we begin a five-part series on the issues and challenges facing Latino families and the educators seeking the best ways to teach their children. Today, NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports from a Georgia community that has seen its Hispanic population soar.
Every week, Joe Strickland welcomes at least one new student to his newcomers class at Lyman Hall Elementary, a small school in Hull County, Georgia, just outside Atlanta.
That's Paola, right?
Paolina.
Paola. Okay, Paola. Okay, sit wherever you like, Paola.
On her very first school day in this country, 9-year-old Paola will learn a few words in English, like bathroom, library, and playground, written in both English and Spanish on a map to help her get around. Even with some gentle coaxing, Paola is nervous. She blushes easily when I ask her where she's from.
De donde eres, Paola?
De Mexico.
¿Qué estado, amiga?
Tamaulipas.
Okay, welcome.
All that Strickland and the school know about Paola is in a file on a single sheet of paper.
Gives us the date she came into the U.S., the initial assessment date. She scored a 4, which put her in the first percentile for English.
That means Paola does not speak English. Her report card from a school in Tamaulipas, Mexico, arrived with a writing sample that shows that she does write fairly well in Spanish. It's something to go on, says Strickland, and certainly better than getting no information at all, as is often the case.
Mesas, the tables, right?
Desks,
very good.
This, researchers say, is how many schools across the country are struggling with Latino children who arrive speaking little or no English.
Even if they're well-intentioned and motivated to help, they just don't know how and they don't have the money to do it.
Jorge Chapa, an immigration scholar and head of Latino studies at Indiana University, has spent 25 years studying Latino immigrants in this country, and he's dismayed by what he's found.
No improvement in educational attainment, virtually no improvement in like 40 years.
Low test scores, high dropout rates, poor language skills, abysmal college graduation rates.
Not just for immigrants, but for U.S.-born, for second generation, for third generation. Now that Latinos are 20% of the school-age population, that's just too big a group to let fail in our schools, and I think the society has to realize that.
Nowhere has that realization hit harder than in Georgia, where communities such as Hull County have been overwhelmed by Latino immigrants.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they are poultry workers.
In Hull County, says Joe Strickland, poultry plants are the single biggest employer and recruiter of Mexican immigrants. That's why so many have come here, legally and illegally.
I'm not sure that the poultry industry requires residency or green cards or that they require the documentation that maybe they should, so.
The Mexican population of Hull County has skyrocketed from a few hundred to nearly 30,000 Mexican immigrants since the late 1980s. The change is amazing, especially along this long stretch of Atlanta Highway 13 known as Little Mexico. Dozens of strip malls crowded with Mexican restaurants, grocery stores, and small businesses that cater exclusively to Latino immigrants. Whether they're shopping for a car, a house, they don't even need a social security number to open a bank account. And right around the corner, they can buy a bus ticket to just about every state in Mexico or province in Central America. All of this, of course, has done wonders for the local economy. Its impact on schools, well, that's a touchy issue at Lyman Hall Elementary. But it comes up anyway during a brief tour of the school with Joe Strickland and assistant principal Veronica Grissel.
A lot of them have not been here very long. They live in the low-cost housing areas around the city of Gainesville.
And the parents have very little education for the most part. Second, maybe third grade education. Semi or illiterate.
And that affects everything the school does, says Strickland, because if parents are hard to reach, their children are hard to teach. And yet, schools know they must do more. These kids are not going to stop coming. Over 90% of the students at this school are Spanish-speaking. The goal is for them to become fluent in English as quickly as possible. There's no bilingual program, and all the standardized tests they're expected to pass in math, science, reading, and writing are in English. Latino students don't do well on these tests, and that has raised a lot of questions about how to best help non-English-speaking students and their parents assimilate. Asian groups are doing fine without nearly as much help, says Neusa Wendt, a Brazilian-born teacher at Lyman Hall.
Why don't we bend backwards for Vietnamese parents? Don't have as many in this school, but we have in other schools, and nobody tries to hire a Vietnamese translator. Why don't you do that?
School officials say it's the numbers. Latinos not only dwarf Vietnamese and other language groups here, they're more likely to be poor and wary of government institutions, especially if they're here illegally. As for schools, well, Strickland says they haven't always reached out to Latinos in their own language. It's been sink or swim.
Now, I have heard some of the old-timers here say that when the Hispanics were less than 50%, English was more mandatory, so they seemed to acquire more quickly. But there's two sides to every story, and our kids have a comfort level here because they're not placed in a school full of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Anglos.
Wendt disagrees. She says you help Latino children by raising their sights, not isolating them. 6 years ago, Wendt started a program to identify the most talented and gifted Latinos at this school. Today, she says it's still the only program of its kind in the entire school district. Latinos make up 20% of the student population here, but only 2% of the kids in advanced academic programs. Wendt says there are far more bright Latinos than that.
It's right here. Let's read together. The theme is the main idea of a work of art or literature.
Wendt loves to engage her kids in conversation, in English. This morning, they're discussing Renaissance painters. The youngest child in the group is 8, the oldest, 11.
I want these kids to break the cycle of poverty, little literacy, and, you know, like this very poor socioeconomic background that they come from. And I know these kids are smart, and I want to catch them before they go to middle school.
If Latino students are not doing well academically by middle school, says Wendt, if they're not reading or writing fluently in English, they're lost. No one at Lyman Hall Elementary disputes that. Least of all, parents, like Ernesto Moreno, a construction worker from Oaxaca who arrived with his family 4 years ago. He drops off his 3 children every morning on his way to work.
Dos estudian en quinto año y uno en tercer año.
I've got 2 fifth graders and a third grader, and they all speak English quite well, Moreno says proudly. He's still learning English. That's what it's going to take for Mexicans to be successful in this country, he says. Learning English, of course, is crucial to Latinos' educational success. It's a simple goal, and yet such a complicated task for schools, one that's largely responsible for the plight of so many Latino students in this country. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News, Hall County, Georgia.